Father, we thank you for today. Lord, it sounds like a lot's going on, and it is, but we thank you for all of that. What a blessing it is to just be involved in this community. Lord, what a blessing it is that you've blessed us here at Mount Freedom with the building and the place that you've put the building. And Lord, we just pray that in everything that we do to try to love on people, to try to just be involved in this Mountain Rest community, this Lake Becky community, even up at the state park, Lord, we just pray that in all of that, that you are magnified and you are glorified and that you are pleased with it all. And Father, at the end of the day, to bring the light, to bring Jesus to the world around us, that's the goal. So Father, we just pray that in all of that, you'll walk with us, you'll lead us, you'll guide us, and that every step of the way that we'll give you all praise and honor and glory. We thank you that we get to worship in this place today. And we pray, Father, that you worship right along with us. And we love you. We love you, King Jesus. And we love you, Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. I've said this in the past, but there's certain Sundays throughout the year that are more difficult for pastors. It's always the special ones, like Christmas and Easter and Mother's Day and Father's Day, because we try to just get everything so perfect. Can I just be up front with you? I ain't trying for it to be perfect, okay? But I do want to draw your attention, guess what, to Jesus this morning. You know, during last week's message, the last message or the closing message, where we covered the grace of God, right, grace upon grace, we looked at some of the words of Jesus that were recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 7 specifically, but perhaps you'll remember from that message, in verses 7-11, they teach us about God and how he extends his grace to his children. And he does that in immeasurable quantities. And I hope I got that point across that month of messages concerning grace upon grace. Is God gives us so many things, and really, we try to measure them, but we just really cannot. And of course, he does this because of his immeasurable love for us. And if no one's told you lately, you are loved. And I don't say that flippantly. At the end of the day, God loves you and will always love you. And it's one of the things that is immeasurable. In other words, what do I mean by that? I can try to explain it and I can get so far, but that doesn't even do it justice. It's an immeasurable thing. And God gives us a lot of those. Mercy, grace, love. And back to Matthew chapter 7 from last week. Those collections of verses is also used quite frequently on Father's Day. Now, I used those verses to draw out some different points. But if we think about those verses in reference to Father's Day, one of the reasons it's used quite frequently is it contains information on the attributes of a perfect heavenly Father. We're not going to go back and look at that, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But that collection of verses was given to us by Jesus himself. And Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about when he delivered those words as part of the Sermon on the Mount. And if the perfect attributes of God are important enough for Jesus to cover in his most important sermon, then I think it's okay to take the time to at least review or mention those attributes every year on a day like Father's Day. Jesus teaches us that God is our Redeemer. He teaches us that God is our protector. He's our provider. He's our comforter. He's our healer. And yes, he's our disciplinarian. The verses that we looked at last week help us understand what it's like or what it means to enter into an intimate relationship with the Father. Think about those things. When you enter into a relationship with God, when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, when you accept Jesus And the Holy Spirit comes to live inside your heart and walk with you daily. Then guess what? You're a redeemed person. You're protected by the protector. You're provided for. When you need it, you're comforted. And sometimes, when you need it, you're healed. And sometimes, when you need it, you're disciplined. You see, that's what a relationship with a perfect father is really like. But instead of just focusing in on those attributes, I think it would be wise of us to consider how Jesus is the connection. He's the connector that makes all those things possible, makes all those things available to us. And I've asked this in different messages from time to time throughout my time here as your pastor. And do you need to be comforted? Many of you say, yeah. Are there times where you just feel like you need some type of healing? We always think of that in a physical mindset, but it can be what? Emotionally. It can be spiritually, right? Do you need to experience grace? Do you need to experience some type of love in your life? Well, guess what? When you enter into a relationship with Jesus, He's the connector that gives you access to all of those things that come directly from the Father. Jesus is the model. He is the perfect example. And He is the messenger that I look around the room. Guess what? We all need to draw near to Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So when we take the time to look deeper into what Jesus teaches us about His relationship with God, His relationship with the Father, we can learn what it takes for us to connect with the Father also. And it'll help us cultivate our relationship with Him. That's another question I want to ask you this morning. Do you feel like you need to have a better relationship with God? So I want to begin with just a couple of obvious things. Jesus is the way to the Father. Look with me as we begin this morning in John chapter 14. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And these are the words of Jesus. And it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Anybody got a troubled heart today? Jesus says, hey, guess what? Don't let it be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And I've read this many times, and I've told y'all this is one of my favorite things just to think about, right? In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Wow. And I tried to read that intentionally a little slower than I normally read because I tried to accent some of the conversation points there. But these are the apostles, the close followers of Jesus, asking some questions that they didn't really know the answers to. But I love Jesus' response. Well, wait a minute. You've been with me. Why don't you know the answers? Can I just say the same thing to you this morning? If you've been in church your whole life like I've been in, right? Are there questions that you feel like you don't know the answers? Well, when you look to Jesus, guess what he's saying to you today through this conversation with these apostles? If you've been with me, then you'll know the answers. Show us the Father, Philip says. And Jesus says, wait a minute. You've been walking with me. If you've been with me, then you've seen the Father, because I and the Father are the same. So when we focus on particularly verse 6 here, in the words of verse 6, we learn a few things about how important it is to believe in Jesus. Jesus lays out an eternal invitation here when he says, I am the way. Have you ever thought that is more than just a statement? It is more than just a statement. It's an invitation. But it's an eternal invitation. And he's simply stating that access to God can only come through one special path. Jesus teaches us that he is the special path. Many people will say that they believe in Jesus, but to truly accept him as Savior and Lord is the only way a person can ever step into a direct connection to God the Father. And it breaks my heart, because I've got friends, I've got family members that you'll have a conversation, and I haven't had many of those lately, but I've had them in the past. But you ask them what they think about Jesus or what they think about God, well, they'll tell you they believe, but then they're missing something, right? Well, what they're missing is following Jesus, trusting Jesus, accepting Jesus. And by default, they're missing out on a relationship with the perfect Heavenly Father. So I'll say this. If you want to know God better, and some of you shook your head earlier, right? You want a better relationship with the Father. If you want to improve that, if you want to know him better, then guess what? Get to know Jesus better. Is that not what he was saying to Philip in his response? Hey, you've been with me. Maybe if you had paid a little more close attention, right? Or if you knew me a little better, then you'd know the Father a little better, because he and I are one. As he points out, as Jesus points out, that's the only way that we have access to the Father. And when you decide to get closer to Jesus, you'll soon discover that his ways are the Father's ways. And Jesus' life on earth shows us how to live like him while we are here. Jesus also says in this passage, he is the truth and the life. And many of us struggle with that question, what is truth, right? Well, guess what? If you ask that question out into the world, you'll get a myriad of answers from different places. But Jesus simply says he is the truth and the life. You see, truth keeps you from listening to the lies of Satan, and it keeps you focused on the attributes, or the perfect attributes, of the Father that we just talked about. And understanding that Jesus is truth, or the truth, protects you. Remember we talked about one of those attributes is that God the Father is your protector? Well, when you understand that Jesus is the truth, it protects you from the lies, but from the faults that come out of those lies and the perceptions that come out of that, right? And it helps you better understand how to interact with Jesus, and in turn, how to interact with the Father. And when you do that, they'll be based on his truths and not somebody else's truths. Many people miss out on a good relationship with God because of lies. Lies that they've been taught and unfortunately have also believed. When that happens, their view of God is broken. We live in a world where the view of God, y'all, is broken. Extremely broken. The truth, which of course is Jesus, destroys the lies and brings life back to our relationships with the Father. Another consideration from our passage is Jesus demonstrated the Father's heart to us. Have you ever thought about that? You say, I want to know what the heart of God is like. Well, he kind of said that to Thomas and Philip, right? You want to know what the heart of God is like? Then get to know me a little better. Look back at verse 9 where Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. When you look at Jesus, you see the heart of God. You'll discover how God looks at people and our situations. You ever thought to yourself, man, I'm glad that Jesus treats me this way instead of the way I should be treated? We sort of did a whole series the last month on that, right? Well, when you look at Jesus, you'll discover that God looks at people and their situations entirely different than the way we do. Studying the way Jesus interacted with people helps us know what the Father is really like. How? Because as Jesus teaches here, He and the Father are one. This means every time we look at something through the lens of Christ, every time we look at something through the lens of Jesus, we gain the ability to see it the way God sees it. Many of you have said this to me, and I've said it myself. I just wish I understood God's ways. Well, I think there's a reason He don't allow us to understand all His ways. Because simply, we wouldn't be able to handle it. But the things He does allow us to see, we see when we look at Jesus and how He interacts and how He approaches people and how He treats people. When we look at things through the lens of Christ, we gain the ability to see it God's way. And we cannot live an authentic Christian life without being connected to the source. If we do not remain connected to the heart of Christ, things such as arrogance, cynicism, traditionalism, and legalism can creep in. Everything we are as a believer is based on our connection to the heart of the Father. We want to protect against those things I just listed, cynicism and arrogance and traditionalism and legalism and all the things that sometimes we look at as being part of church, right? If we want to protect against those things, then guess what? We have to stay connected to the Father. Well, how do we do that? Through Jesus, His Son. When we experience all that the heart of God has for us, then it changes how we begin to see the world around us. And I've done it myself this morning in a few of my statements. I look at the world and I say, man, it's bad, right? But God looks at the world and says, I want to love on this people. I want to love on this mess. I want to offer mercy. I want to offer grace. I want to offer compassion. We don't do that. We can do that. How? When we're connected to the Father through the Son. Connecting to God in His way, in this way, helps us understand the simplicity of a relationship with Him. Sometimes we like to complicate our relationships, don't we? When they're really not that complicated. And to have a relationship with God is really not that complicated. Jesus says it. We just read it. He says, I'm the way. You want to have a relationship with God? Have a relationship with Jesus. That's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. But we're good at complicating things that are not necessarily overly complicated to begin with. I feel as if I teach this concept a lot. But it's an important concept for us to know. When you accept Jesus, when you accept Christ, it's not just your rescue from an eternal separation. That sounded real churchy, didn't it? You know, y'all know how I really say it? When you accept Jesus Christ, it's not just your get out of hell free card. That's important, but that's not all there is to it, y'all. Jesus desires to lead you, to walk with you into this very personal, very intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe. Blows my mind that He even wants to do that with me. But that's what He wants to do. So as a believer, Jesus gives you access not only to Him, but to the Father and to the Spirit of the Father. And he does it in such a way that there should be no confusion and should be no interference. And as a believer, God grants you the opportunity to be a child of God. You're either his son or his daughter. And to me, on Father's Day, that's probably the biggest point of this whole message. Is that when I accept his son, then I get to be a son. When you accept his son, you get to be a daughter. And yes, it's great to have our earthly father, but man, how much more better, how much better is it to have a heavenly father? When you accept and receive the work of Christ, you get to be considered, even here, as a child of God. And when you do that, guess what you get to do? You get to talk to the Father. I don't know if we realize that or not, but we can pray to God, but if we don't have a relationship with Jesus, the connection is missing a link. It's like having a broken phone line, right? Jesus says he's the way to the Father. When you become a child of God, you get access to, or you get the ability to talk to the Father. And Jesus even simplified that for us when he taught about prayer, which, oh, by the way, is how we get to communicate, right, with our Father. We live in a world of smartphones. Do you wish sometimes you could just text him? Well, I'm not making light of that, but man, we text and. Yeah. but it's so convenient, right? We can text and boom, we get a response back. We can call, we get a response back. Like Juan says, we text him while we're driving. We're gonna get to meet him. But anyway. But God says, hey, if you want to really hear from me, you want to talk to me, then pray. Pray. And Jesus says, when you do that, do it this way. And he tells us what? To start with our Father in heaven. Now, I do it, you do it, we all pray to Jesus, but sometimes we forget to pray to the Father. Right? Jesus says, hey, when you pray, talk to God. Talk to the Father. Our Father in heaven. You see, when you do that, it's cultivating your relationship with God. And it begins with something just as simple as addressing him. You know? To me, that's pretty simple. It's not complex, is it? It's not otherworldly either, right? God's not this infinite, complex, otherworldly being, but he's just simply our Father. And he wants us to view him in that light. I think sometimes we think, oh, it's God, you know, and there's a healthy respect with that sometimes, and I get that. But as a child of God, and this is just me, this is how I feel about the Father, I think he's sitting down and he's wanting us to just come around. He's wanting us to approach him and say, hey, Daddy, what's going on? And just have an open, honest, genuine conversation with your Father in heaven. If you want a deeper relationship with God, just keep it simple. Just start talking to him. And maybe it's while you're driving. Because I talk to him a lot while I'm driving. Let Jesus lead you into a very comfortable prayer life. And when that happens, get ready to experience what God has in store for you. I've had people tell me before, well, praying's just uncomfortable. And I don't want to like make this blanket statement about everybody, but I think the reason that people make that statement or we think of prayer as this uncomfortable thing sometimes, has nothing to do with praying in itself. Has to do with we don't want to approach God in a simple way and just say, hey, Daddy, Father, this is what's going on. I know you already know this, but this is what's going on. This is what I need some advice on. Instead, we try to, I don't know, make it more theological than it needs to be or more complicated than it needs to be. And I've done it myself, you know. Jesus says, hey, you ain't got to do all that stuff. Just acknowledge who he is and talk to him. And guess what will happen? Your relationship will improve. Your relationship will get better. If you truly desire a better relationship with the Father, then it's recommended that you also seek to understand the connection that he has with his Son. I want to go backwards in John, back to chapter 5. I'm just going to read two verses there, 19 and 20. And again, this is Jesus speaking. He said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. I've asked this before. How long has it been since you just were in awe of something that God did in your life or in your presence, right? When's the last time that God did something and you stood there marveling at its greatness, marveling at how awesome it was? I think God does those things, but if our relationship's not where it needs to be, we miss out on those things. Jesus did what he witnessed the Father doing. He didn't act on his own volition. He acted out of the intimacy that he has with his Father. John goes on to teach us in 1 John that God is love. And from chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 of 1 John, it says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. I feel like I should repeat that, right? Part of our salvation, again, it's not just to get out of hell, right? But it's also to live through his Son, to live our life through Jesus Christ. And when we try to do that and we work on that relationship and we get better in that, then guess what? Regardless of what happens in this world and around us, then we can look and we can say, man, this life is great. This life is good. This life is awesome. And then verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Man, we could do a whole series of messages on that one. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. You see, Jesus is in tune with the Father's love for him and for others. Because of this, when we see Jesus, we see the truth of these verses lived out. The most difficult person in your life to love is somebody that's what? Hurt you or harmed you. But as a Christian, we've got to find a way to be able to do that. Most of the time, we don't want to, do we? Most of the time, we want to just have the opposite kind of mindset when it comes to our enemy. But how did Jesus treat his enemies? Was he honest with them? Absolutely. But did he find a way to communicate with them in a spirit of truth and love? Absolutely. You see, many people want the love of the Father, but they miss out because they spend a lot of time trying to earn it instead of just accepting it. Have you ever approached somebody and you say, well, I'm going to do this because that's what my preacher said I got to do? Guess what? When you go into something with that mindset, that's what the preacher said I got to do, or that's what the Bible said I got to do, right? When you go into it with that mindset, now you're checking a box. You're accomplishing a task. And Jesus makes it very clear. You can't earn it. You can't work your way into it, because it's something that's given to you when you accept it. That being what? A relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's out of that relationship that now you go talk to somebody that's hurt you because you want to, because your heart's in the right place, versus you being told to. Does that make sense? You see, many people want the love of the Father, but they miss out because they spend time trying to earn it instead of just accepting it. We got to stop viewing God as this heavenly boss. We got to stop looking at him as this boss that we perform for or attempt to be religiously perfect for. And I've shared this with you in the past. As a child growing up and giving my life to Christ, studying Scripture, I always viewed it as this list of rules. and are there rules in the Scripture? Absolutely. But if you really boil it down and you start looking at it, those rules are there because of the attributes of the Father. Y'all all agreed he's our protector. Well, guess what? Those rules are in place to protect us. So instead of following them just to check a box, right? Now I look at some of them and I say, man, I do that now without even thinking about it. Well, why? Why do I do those things? Well, it's because of my relationship with Jesus. It's the heart of God through the Son, through the Spirit, that's living in me, that now I look and say, hey, that's too easy, right? That's too easy. Instead of seeing God as a boss and trying to perform for him or be religiously perfect, we need to see God like Jesus saw him. Jesus walked, as we just read here, in the love of his Father, connected to him with a love that was poured out, not just to him, but to as many people as possible. If you desire, you want to be more like this, then you need to get accustomed to what a loving Father is genuinely like. You need to receive his love instead of trying to earn it. Finally, Jesus, even though glory also belongs to him, Jesus always gives credit where credit is due. Jesus sought to always glorify his Father. Mark captured this concept for us in verse 18 of chapter 10, where he recorded that Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." You see, Jesus models the perfect life for us. He was sinless because of the work of the Father. Jesus was good because the Father is good. When I think about that, and then I think about me, right? Can I check boxes that make me appear to be better than I really am? Absolutely. But if I am walking where I need to be, and where my relationship with Jesus, if it's where it needs to be, then guess what? Good things will begin to take place, and I didn't do anything but just what? Follow my Savior. Jesus models that for us. He was sinless because of the work of the Father. He was good because the Father is good. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful way to close Father's Day. What a wonderful example and a reminder that without God, without Jesus, we have no hope of really doing good or being good. You say, well, what's so wonderful about that? Well, what's wonderful about that is I know where I was before Jesus. And I can look and say, man, look what he's doing. Look at the good that he's doing. And I don't have anything to do with that at all. At all. You see, his goodness, the goodness of God, can only be found in us when his Son, Jesus, is found in our heart. There's a lot of people walking around, Jesus is in the head. I believe in Jesus. But just a few inches away, it's absent. Because there's a huge difference in believing in Jesus and knowing Jesus. When God does good work in us and through us, we, just like Jesus, need to direct the focus off of us and point it to the goodness of the Father instead. I preach a lot about humility, right? It's very true, about being a humble servant. The simplest way I can say that is you've got to get out of the way. If you got a relationship with Jesus, get out of the way and just let Jesus be Jesus. And there'll be a point in your life you'll step back and you'll be like, wow, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Lord, my prayer as we leave today is that we begin to live the words of this song. And we truly do say, Jesus, have it all. And let you lead and guide. Holy Spirit, we ask you for your daily walk. Lead us, instruct us, love us, have mercy and grace upon us. And Father, as we go and do the work that you put before us, may we do it with the right attitude and the right mindset. And may we give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen.